following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Let's stand together. We're continuing our study through the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom, the power, and the glory, how that impacts us. And this morning, the title of the message is Rest for the Weary. Does that sound good to anybody this morning? Anybody need rest? Rest for the weary. If you've got your Bible open, please read with me. Starting at verse 28, we'll read down to verse 30. Let's read together. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verse 28, once more. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we need that. We need your rest. And we need the peace that you give, Lord. We need to learn of Jesus. And Father, I pray that this morning as we open your word and give our attention to the scriptures, that your spirit, Lord, would open our understanding to what it means to come to you and to rest in you and to learn of you. So, Father, just take the weary souls today and those that are burdened and heavy laden and draw them to that point of response to you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Have a seat, please. Does anybody still read Reader's Digest? Anybody? Let me see the hands. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. It's been a long time since I read it, but it seems to be more true in Reader's Digest than any magazine that I have ever seen. And it's the medication ads. They're just all the way through that publication. And, you know, the ad that sort of highlights the medication for you, big, you know, usually full color, something inviting that draws you in to buy this pill that will work for your headaches or your backaches or your joint pain, sleeping aids, stay awake type aids, pills for your anxiety, pills for your depression. But then when you turn the page from the sales pitch, on the backside of that page, and usually for one or two pages, is very fine print that tells you, be careful with this medication. It says, don't use it without a doctor's consultation. It tells you, keep it away from your children. And it tells you, this wonderful medication could actually kill you if you don't use it properly. Well, Jesus, in this passage we're covering this morning, is giving you a prescription. And he's saying to you, and you're going to need this. If you don't need this now, I guarantee there will be a time, maybe very, very soon, where you'll need this prescription from Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, some of you in your Bibles, as you were reading along, when I read, come to me, all you who labor, you read, come to me, all you who are weary. Some Bibles have labor, some Bibles have weary. Which one is it? Well, in one sense, it doesn't really matter because one of them is the cause and the other one is the effect. The two really work together. Labor creates weariness if you work hard. You do understand that God's called you to work hard. He's called all of us to labor in one way or another. And if you work hard, if you work hard enough, long enough, you will get weary. I guarantee if it hasn't already happened to you, it's going to happen. Life will get hard, and you will get weary, and you will get hurt, and you will lose a loved one, and you'll be tempted to run away from it all in one direction or another. The question is, where will you run? Who will you turn to? In verse 28, Jesus says this, I've got an idea, he says, come to me when you get weary. Come to me when you labor. Come to me when you're heavy laden. And that invitation of Jesus, come here, come to me. It is probably the most common invitation from God in all of the Bible. And it's worded in many, many different ways. Let me show you some of them up on the screen. Jesus will say, God will say through the prophets, he'll say to us something like this, look to me and be saved. You find that in Isaiah chapter, I think, 44 or 45. God says, you've got to look to me and you can find salvation. The Bible says, turn to me, God calls us over and over and over again. Or this one, return to me. How many of you are really thankful that God allows U-turns? He allows recovery. In fact, he commands recovery. He commands that you turn. If you're running in the wrong direction, the wisest thing you can do is to stop and turn around and start running in the right direction. You won't get any closer to your destination by continuing in the wrong direction. Amen? Absolutely not. So he says, turn to me. He says, return to me. He says, trust in me. He says, believe in me. Those are different, but very related. Trust in me and believe in me. Put the weight of your whole life down upon me. He says, call upon me while you can hear. Call upon me while I am near. If you hear the slightest whisper of God to your heart, something that says to you, aren't you tired of this nonsense? Aren't you fed up with life as it's been? And he says, come to me, call upon me while I'm near. Scripture says, cry out to me. The scripture says, follow me. You know, that's the first thing that Jesus said to Peter. First two words on record, Peter, follow me. The last two words Jesus said to Peter, exactly the same. Follow me. It's like that's all Peter could handle. Maybe that's all you and I can handle. Just follow Jesus one day at a time. But he says, follow me. Next one, he says, come to me, as we've been reading, as we'll discover today. Come to me. He says, lay it all down right here before me. And that invitation continues with this. Jesus said, now that you're here, why don't you stay here? Why don't you abide in me? All those invitations. Did you notice the one recurring word in all of those invitations? It's the me. He says, come to me. It's all about, what does it say on our doors? It's all about Jesus. What's it say on your heart? Hopefully, it's all about Jesus. This whole life, this whole thing we call the Christian life, is about him, getting him at the core and in the center. True Christianity is not an invitation to another man-made religious ism. True Christianity is not come to my slick program or my incredible building. Or come to my ritual, come to my ceremony, come to my system. I want you to read this with me up on the screen. I worked this whole idea out this week, and I've come down to this statement. I want you to read it with me. True Christianity is simply the restoration of the original primal relationship between God and man, restored by Jesus Christ. I want you to think back to the garden. What did Adam and Eve have in the garden? They had a beautiful garden to begin with. And all these wonderful non-lethal pets, you know, they could pet anything they wanted to and eat almost anything they wanted to except the one tree. But the core of their existence in the garden was their walk and relationship with him, with God. It was always this, a true relationship with God, true faith relationship is simply the restoration of that original primary relationship, the primal relationship where it all started between God and man that Jesus came to restore. That's what true Christianity is all about, if you want to use the phrase Christianity. This life with God is all simply about that. So when Jesus says, come to me, how do you respond? Well, I guess it depends on whether or not you think he's talking to you. So the question here is, who is Jesus talking to? Who's getting this invitation? Come to me. Is it the multitude? Look back at chapter 9, verse 36. One verse there. Just flip back two pages. Here's Jesus out and about, ministering everywhere, filling up the synagogues everywhere he goes. And then too many people for the synagogues, multitudes on hillsides everywhere. In verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were what? They were weary. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So is Jesus talking to the same weary people here? Well, look at the next verse. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers. So is he talking to the laborers that he's about to send out into the harvest field? Who's he speaking to? To the multitudes, the weary multitudes, or the hardworking laborers? Well, you know, we always use this verse for evangelism. How many of you have been either in a church when an invitation is given or at a Harvest Crusade or a Billy Graham Crusade, and this kind of verse comes up? Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Doesn't that sound evangelistic? Well, in a sense, obviously it is evangelistic, but we always use it that way, and I think it's appropriate as well to hear somebody say, look, aren't you tired of the nonsense of sin? Aren't you tired of the deadly grip that sin has on you? Well, Jesus says, come to me. Aren't you tired of trying to be your own Savior, trying to save yourself? Well, stop that and come to me, Jesus says. Aren't you weary from the burdens of life and the cares of life? Well, Jesus says, come to me. What about this one? Aren't you tired of trusting man to be your Savior? Anybody tired of that? You know, we're entering into another Savior cycle. I mean, another political cycle. We're 17 on the Republican side, and a couple or so on the Democratic side are going to promise to save you. I hope you're tired of trusting man to save you. Well, Jesus says, come to me with that. Is that you? Where do you run? If you're one of those who have run away from God, or maybe you've never known God, maybe you've never responded to his invitation to come to the life that he has to offer you, then Jesus' call to you today is simply this: run to me. If you're going to run, run in my direction, come to me. But here's something I realized, and I think it had to be in this last year, so I probably have spoken about it in brief. I never realized until just within this last year that this isn't just written to lost people. This is my invitation as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian leader, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a preacher. It's an invitation for me to come to Jesus. This is for followers of Christ too. Here's why. This might sound familiar. We get weary too. We get discouraged too. We are sometimes ready to give up on the Christian life even. Oh, Pastor Bill didn't say that, did he? Summer of 1971. I'd been saved for less than a year. And there was this one summer afternoon, somewhere right in the heat of summer, living in our apartment down on Ocean Boulevard with my mom and my three sisters. And I just came to a point in my walk with Jesus where I just felt, I can't do this. I'm just not cut out to be a Christian. I'm a failure as a Christian. I had probably blown it. I'm certain I had sinned some way, and I felt horrible about myself. And I just said, I'm done. I can't do this. I'm not cut out to be a Christian. So I walked out the door. I went out to Ocean Boulevard. I stood right at the corner of Cherry and Ocean Boulevard, heading towards Belmont Shore. And I stuck my thumb out in the air to hitchhike, because I knew that if I hitchhiked, what would happen, what had always happened, would happen again. I'd get picked up by hippies because I still look like a hippie. And they would offer me pot, or they'd offer me drugs, or they'd offer me something. And I stood there for 45 minutes trying to get picked up. And VW bus after VW bus full of hippies went straight on by me. And I thought, the dream is dead. And now I'm beginning to wonder, God, are you doing this? If you're doing this, this isn't fair. And I walked across the street into Bixby Park, walked up to that middle block there just by Cherry. How many of you remember the croquet or the roquet or whatever they pronounce them, the courts that were there? And I laid on this park bench right there, took my shirt off because it was just a hot summer day, and I thought I'll get some sun. And I laid there, for, I don't know how long, but as I'm laying there, suddenly the sun, I could tell, maybe a cloud went over it or something. It wasn't as bright. And I opened my eyes, and here's this man hovering over me. And he was old, old, old. One more. Old. Old. And he was wearing a black suit. I'm not making any of this up. A black suit, white shirt, black tie, leaning on a cane, black hat on his head. And he looked down at me and he said, young man, you're going to get a sunburn laying there like that. And I looked up at him and I said something rude, just like, hey, don't worry about me. Get out of my sun, or something like that. And he looked right back down at me. He wasn't done with me. And he said, young man, did you know that Jesus loves you? That was a turning point for me, that I knew God's not going to let me run away from him. I believe that old, 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 old guy probably went home that night and died. I'm sure I was his last assignment before he went to heaven. He hobbled home and went to heaven. I don't know. But, you know, I hope somehow I get to see him when I get there and throw my arms around that guy and thank him for standing in my way that day and obeying the Lord that refreshed my soul that day. It wasn't about my ability. It was about the God who loved me. We get weary in our walk with Jesus, don't we? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? You get weary, you get discouraged, you feel like giving up, you get burdened from carrying the cares of maybe the flock that you minister to, the family that you're raising, to believe in Jesus and trust in him. I want to read this passage so quickly because I don't want to run out of time this morning like I typically do. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you've got it marked, then I want you just to turn there and follow along with me. Here's Paul, who's kind of, he's heard that there's people that are saying, hey, I'm better than Paul. And Paul says, oh yeah, well, let me tell you about me. And he boasts for a while and he says he feels foolish about it, but he does it anyway. In verse 22, he says, are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. He says, are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And then he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In other words, I'm better than they are. Then he goes on, listen, in labors more abundant, in stripes, he's not talking about a uniform, he's not talking about a cool striped shirt. He's talking about the beatings from the whips, the stripes that were laid upon his back. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes or 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, not like I was trying to get stoned that summer in 1971, but he says, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, that's in the ocean. In journeys often, in perils in waters, of waters. Perils means troubles, big trouble. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Now listen, verse 28. And besides the other things, what, this list is longer than that? Doesn't this sound like a bit of a bad day? And he's got heaps and heaps of terrible things that have happened to him. Listen to this one. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? He says, it works me. The stuff that the church goes through, the people that I care about, the flock that I get to nurture. He said, sometimes it just will wear me out. It's the cost of compassion. If you care about people, you'll weep with those who weep. You'll hurt when they hurt. You'll get angry at those that victimize them. If you care about people, if you're a compassionate soul, let me warn you, between here and heaven, if you live long enough, your heart will be broken 1,000 times. For the people that you minister to, the people you care for. And there will be times, I almost guarantee you, that you'll hit a wall and you'll say, I just can't do this anymore. And for me, the wall, the most profound wall that I hit was on December 10th in the year 2002. And I remember being in my office and getting the call that Heather Bonham had passed away. Heather was 11 years old. She was just less than a month away from being 12 years old. She'd had 5 open heart surgeries before she was 5. And she knew, the family knew that her time was probably shorter than most kids would be. But I got the call, and I don't remember if it came from Rex or Kim, that Heather had passed away at Calvary Chapel School at Maranatha Academy. And they'd taken her to Fountain Valley. So I'm rushing over to Fountain Valley, and on the way there, I cried out to God, and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I don't know if there'd been a string of people that passed away, but I said, God, I just can't do this. I don't feel qualified for this. And it was so quick to my heart, and again, just so profound that I felt like God said to my heart, well, Bill, then are you telling me it's okay for them? It's okay with you if they go through this without you and without any help? Is that what you're telling me, Bill? And okay, God, I get it. I understand. And it was, you understand, that was a gentle rebuke to my heart when I said, God, I can't do it. And then just as quickly, I thought about Pastor Chuck, who at that time, probably for over 50 years, had been stepping into the same impossible situations just to be there, just to bring hope. When I pulled up, and I parked in the emergency lot there, right by the emergency entrance, where I was this last week. with our granddaughter, Taylor. Every time I walk down that hallway, I can't help but think. I can't help but remember that concrete bench. It's still there. And there was her sister, Danielle, sitting on that concrete bench. I have been on the concrete bench before. I know what that feels like. I didn't have any words. I didn't have any sense of healing. All I could do was just be there and watched, you know, through the grace of God, his outpouring upon a family walking through the worst times in life. Those things, they're just going to hit us in life. And there'll be times when you, as a follower and a servant of Jesus, will say, I can't do this. But in his grace, yes, you can. I remember that day praying something like, God, if you've kept Pastor Chuck up like this for over 50 years, then give me some of what you gave him and I'll keep doing this. And I'll just keep standing. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he said, don't get weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap. If you don't faint, if you don't give up. So you continue to preach the gospel. And you continue to labor for the cause of Christ. You continue to fight for justice and for truth and those things that matter to God. Hey, I do care, by the way. I care about Cecil the lion. I think most people care about Cecil the lion, but my heart just, it breaks when I see what's happening. You've seen the videos with Planned Parenthood and the hearts that just don't care about the crushing of the unborn and the selling of parts to make somebody. There's something in me that says, ah, anybody else? Can you translate that for me? Ah, it's like, God, when? What will you do here? There's just those burdens in life as you're parenting your children, trying to raise them in the ways of the Lord and serving him. I know I'm looking out at a congregation filled with people that are serious about serving Jesus. You know what you need? You need what I need. You need to hear Jesus say to you, come to me, you who are weary in the work, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Not just for the lost sinner, it's for the found sinner too. It's for the dedicated servant. We never get past. We never grow up so big as a Christian that we somehow make it to the day where we don't need to hear the gospel. I need to hear Jesus say to me every single day, come to me, run to me. The evangelist D.L. Moody, over a century ago, he came home extremely weary one day, just worn out. And his family said to him, you got to take a day off. You need to clear your calendar. You need a rest. And he said, no, I don't. He said, I'm going to be back on it tomorrow. He said, I am weary in the work, but I'm not weary of the work. I will continue to touch soul after soul. So where do we run? But Jesus tells us, come to me and rest. You never grow beyond the gospel. We sang the song, you broke my chains of sin and shame. But then I love the way that song goes on and it says, now you mend my life. I need his mending when I get weary, when I get busted up and broken. Jesus said, come to me and rest. Now, I'm going to give you a Greek lesson. Not that I'm a Greek scholar. I just read the books that I won't let you read. I'm just kidding. I just, you know, read books from scholars that understand the language. But the Greek word behind the word rest is anapao. Say that with me. Anapao. Anapao means to rest, refresh. It means take ease. And here's the definition of it. To cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Isn't that beautiful? It's like Jesus gives you, listen carefully, permission to rest. He allows you to rest and recover and refresh and recollect your strength because the race is not over. It's still going on around us every single day. Jesus calls you, come on, take a little bit of a breather and rest in me. In fact, when Jesus is going over the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, it starts by this. They've been working hard. He's been working hard. And so he says to them in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. In one translation, it says, come apart to a deserted place. And I kind of agree with the person that sort of played around with that idea a little bit and says, really, the truth is this. Come apart before you come apart. Before you fall apart, come apart. Come aside. And Jesus said, let's just take a little time off. And it's interesting that the only time off that I can find that they actually got was the boat ride across the top of the Sea of Galilee, which might have taken at the most 2 hours if they're fighting into a wind, because when they get there, there's more multitudes that need more ministry. But he said, come apart and rest. And by the way, before Jesus said this, it's found over and over and over again in Scripture. Look up here. Psalm 23, 1 through 2. Let's read together. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. In Psalm 32, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You need a hiding place. There's days when the battle comes against you so hard, you need a hiding place. And the writer says, you're my hiding place. Let's read, you protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. And I love this one, our name. There it is, Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He says, come to me, get into the refuge, get into the hiding place. Let me be your shepherd, lay down and rest. And God calls us to labor. There's no question about it. But he also permits the rest to refresh and recover and to Sabbath. How many of you love Chuck Swindoll? I love Chuck Swindoll, one of the greatest preachers ever. And I'm sure it was Chuck that I first heard say this years and years and years ago. We probably started listening to him over 30 years ago. And he talked about the workaholic and the Christian workaholic. How many of you are just a little bit like that? Activity, 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 go, go, go. Anybody like me in here? It's hard to rest for some reason. And it was the idea where he said, you know, these guys that run around and they say, well, I'd rather burn out than rust out. And I always tell people, I'd rather be busy than bored. But I'd rather burn out than rust out. And he said, either way, you're out. You're out of the game, whether you're burned out or you're rusted out. Or wear out. I don't know what it'll be. The knees wear out first and then the hips wear out. But I want to make it to the end of the road in as good a shape as I can be in. So I need to rest before I unravel. I need to rest in him. There are seasons of rest, but there's that constant rest in Jesus. And it only happens when you run to him. Now, the truth is this. You will run to someone. You will run some way. You'll run in some direction. I want to show you a book that we have been reading in our pastor's devotion. We get together on Monday with our guys, and we've been reading through this book, Dangerous Calling. It's by an author, Paul David Tripp. I want to read a chapter in this to you. Just a couple of lines. How much time do you have? Here's what he says. Listen carefully. In the middle of trouble, when you are in the heat of battle, you will run somewhere for refuge. You will run somewhere for rest, comfort, peace, encouragement, wisdom, healing, and strength. Perhaps in trouble, you run to other people, hoping that they can be your personal Messiah. Perhaps you run to entertainment, hoping to numb your troubles away with endless hours before the television. Maybe you run to a substance, trying to your best to turn off the pain. Maybe you're tempted to run to food or sex, fighting pain with pleasure. Since none of these things can provide the refuge that you seek, have you found that to be true? None of them can provide the refuge you seek. Putting your hope there tends only to add disappointment to the trouble you're already experiencing. God really is your refuge and strength. Only he rules every location where your trouble exists. Only he controls all the relationships in which disappointment will rear its head. And only he has the power to rescue and deliver you. Only he has the grace you need to face what you're facing. Only he is in, with, and for you at all times. He is your refuge of refuges. Do you run to him? That's good stuff. Do you run to him? Do you rest in him? Or do you run to people? The invitation is for you, and it's for me. It is to the lost. And if that's you, if you're the wandering prodigal, or if you're the fallen away churchgoer, then Jesus says, come to me. If you're the skeptic, you're the agnostic, you're the atheist who has all kinds of reasons because of the Christian you know and the hypocrite you know, and you don't like the system, you don't like the program, you don't like the temperature, you don't like the guy who talks too long. Jesus said, come to me, he said. Not to my program. He said, come to me. Examine him. You'll find no fault in him. To the addicted person robbed of control and balance and dignity and health by your own decisions. Jesus says, come to me. Let me set you free. Now this one, to the hypocrite. who's always busy, busy, busy schedule, full up schedule, helping everybody else get their lives right. After you've identified everything that's wrong in them with that big old beam that's sticking out of your own eye, knocking everybody silly, to the hypocrite, full of pretense and advice for everyone else, he says, why don't you drop the mask and come to me? And you'll find rest for your souls. He calls all the weary, all the burdened, whatever the reason, whosoever will, let them come. And then, in verse 29, look what he says. This is great. To the one whom he's invited to come close, he says, now that you're here, take up my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is anybody but me thrilled that this verse doesn't read like this? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, or I will hunt you down and beat the daylights out of you. He says, come and learn. Learn a different way. Learn from me. And this is what you'll learn. This is what you will become, gentle and lowly in heart, humble. Oh, and by the way, you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find the rest that you've been looking for. Take my yoke upon you. Rest in me and now learn from me. Yoke is for guidance. A yoke was not to bear a burden. You know what a yoke looks like. It's just one piece of wood, and then usually the ancient yokes were these two sticks that would come down on either side of the neck of the beast, and like it shows in the illustration, a rope that would tie the bottom of their neck into it. And it was there for a purpose to take these two animals and link them up together. Now, one of the animals would typically be the training animal, and the other animal is the trainer, because one is more experienced than the other one. I think in this photo, Bessie on the right looks a little more experienced, and old Chucksteak, I'm sorry, but the other guy on the left, I think he's new because he's got that look in his eyes like, oh boy, this is going to be fun. He's going to learn how to work, and you put an experienced one with a novice, and you learn. By the way, who's the experienced one when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you? He's the one with the experience. He says, you slip your head into the other side of my yoke, not your yoke, my yoke. We're going to go my way, not your way. And you'll learn of me. You'll learn humility. You'll learn gentleness. And you'll find rest for your souls. And learn to move when I say move. With the slightest little nudge, follow me to the left or follow me to the right or stop or move up or go a little bit faster. And he'll control the speed. He'll control the direction. And you'll feel it if you're trained and you're humble and submitted to his will, you'll know with the slightest nudge, oh, I guess we're going here. Oh, I guess it's time to stop. I was out in the harbor the other day on a kayak early in the morning, and I'm paddling away, having a great, great morning, and I just felt this little nudge from behind me. It was just like a boost. And I thought, whoa, well, there's nobody back there. There's not a shark here, is there? You know, or any big fish. There was nothing. It was just the tide. The tidal surge beginning to go out, and it caught me, and it was just this little bit of a nudge in the right direction, and you'll see that, and you'll sense that. Jesus said, if you come to me, and you take my yoke upon you, and you learn of me, you put your head in that side, and I'll take care of the leading, and you just walk with me, because he says, my yoke is what?
Easy.
Easy. In the Greek, the word there is krestos, and it's a cool word. You know what it means? It fits. He said, my yoke fits well. Now, there is a legend, and there's nothing you can find anywhere in history to totally validate it. But what was Jesus by trade? He was a carpenter. He made things with wood. He probably built buildings with wood and other materials. But if he was kind of focused on what we would typically call carpentry, Jesus probably made implements and tools. And there's this legend that Jesus made the best yokes in all of Israel, really. I don't know where they got no yoke, really. They really did believe that Jesus made the best yokes ever. And Jesus, the people would come to him from all over Israel. And the sign above his shop door read, my yokes fit well. Now, they can't find that sign anywhere, but the idea, and maybe there's a little bit of an inference there that maybe Jesus did make yokes, and maybe he is looking back to the fact that he used to make tools and implements for people, but he said, in relation to you and I, my yokes fit well. I'm not going to fit you with something that doesn't fit you. Whatever Jesus calls me to do, it's going to fit. And legend or not, it's really true when it comes to you and I. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus won't call me to do something he hasn't equipped me to do. Today, he will not call me to lift 500 pounds above my head because I can't do that. But he will call me to lift burdens and carry my own burdens, my wife's burdens, burdens of my family, and other people that he leads me to. How far do I have to carry those? Well, some of them I carry for the rest of my life. And some of them I just help those people carry them to Jesus. And we drop them at his feet. That's where the burdens have to be dropped. Amen? And not only is his yoke easy and his burden light, know this. Jesus is not going to use you as some expendable slave. Well, he'll just use you until he's used you up and then discard you. He cares so much for you. He loves you more than I can describe to you. You're a son. You're a daughter. Yes, you're a servant, but you're a child of his. He's not going to abuse you. He's not going to use you up. His burden won't crush you. You'll find rest for your souls in the yoke that he puts upon you and the burden that he invites you to carry along with him. So he says to us, come and rest. And if you don't, you will implode. If you don't, eventually, the burdens that you carry will crush you unless you bring them to Jesus. And I suggest you bring it all to Jesus, the anxiety and the depression and all the aches and all the pains and all the weariness and all of the worry and all of the fear, and you drop all of those burdens right down at his feet. Did I hit anybody in that list? Can I hit anybody in any of the, can just one or two people? That's all I'm looking for, in one or two. Because you might have a worry, you might have a fear, you might have a care, you might have a pain, you might have an ache, you might have a loved one who needs to know Jesus or needs to return to Jesus. You bring all of that to him. He says, come to me. And here's my question. How many times does God have to say this to us before we do it? Before we get it? Both follower of his and prodigal, the one who's running away from him. How many times do we have to hear him say, bring that here? You know these verses. Let's read together. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you, all of them. This one, I love this one. Let's read together from Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. There are some people who need it most right now. Whether you're here in this hall or you're watching through the live stream or you're listening to this some other time, you need the grace that Jesus said he came to give you. And I want you to read. Go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. That's where we're going to stop. One of the saddest responses in the Bible is when God says, come here. And we say to him, no. Or we say, not yet. And we say, I'll be right with you, Lord. I'll clean myself up and then I'll come. And he tells you to come with your filthy self. He tells you to come with the darkness of your sin and lay it down. That's the heaviest weight of all, the weight of guilt and shame over our sin. And he'll break that chain for you today if you'll let him. Before we read Jeremiah, I want you to read this off the screen with me. Jesus is talking to religious leaders, and he says to them, you search the scriptures. That's his book, two-thirds of it. He said, you search the scriptures, for you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Isn't that one of the saddest passages you've ever heard in scripture? Well, this one in Jeremiah is pretty close to at least the second saddest passage in all of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. These were bad days for the southern nation of Judah. They were about to go into captivity, and yet God says to them, stand in the way. That's the crossroads. And some of you today, you're at a crossroads. And you've got to decide what you'll do with this invitation where Jesus says, come to me. Maybe you haven't started walking with him. What do you have that's better than forgiveness, grace, and a future kingdom that God's promised? What do you have that even compares to that? He says, come to me. And to the Christian who's gotten weary, it's not time to give up. You'll get a sunburn laying there like that. Did you know that Jesus loves you? He loves you. You stand at the crossroads and see and ask for the old paths. That's the tried and proven way, where the good way is, and walk in it. And then you will find rest for your souls. Read it with me now. But they said, we will not walk in it. They said, no. Got a better idea. Steady on. Verse 17, I also sent watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. That sound was an alarm. But they said, we will not listen. It was just belligerence of soul. They said, God, no, we've got something better. We've got another plan. No time for you now, God. Life in Jesus all comes down to this. You come to him. You abide in him. In him, you trust in him. You walk with him. You believe in him. You lay all those burdens down before him. Life in Jesus is not built on what we do, but on what he has done. And he did it all. Amen? This sounds like a weary amen. That's okay if you're weary today. Amen, brother. Amen, amen, Pastor Bill. Life in Christ is predicated and built on what he has done entirely. But there is one thing you must do that he can't do for you. You must come to him. You must, as we covered last week, you must confess him before men. The one thing you must do is to come to him and to say like the old hymn does, I need you every hour, most gracious Lord. I need you, oh, I need you. To say to him like the other hymn, oh, what a friend I have in Jesus, all my sins and my griefs and my burdens to bear, and let him bear those for you. We're going to sing again. In fact, if the worship team would come back up, we'll get ready to do that. Oh, I'm running to your arms. When I'm weak, I run to you for strength. When I'm ashamed, I run to you for forgiveness. When I'm confused, I run to you for wisdom. But we're going to say that to Jesus together now. We're running to you. Let's just keep running to him. Amen? Let's keep coming to him. Amen? Let's let him be all that he wants to be. This is where life happens. In the presence of Christ. This is for you, Christian. Let's come to him. Let's remain with him. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father. Lord, we want to bring you all that burdens us today. We want to bring you all that wearies us, Father. We want to lay down before you all of our concerns and worries and cares and anxieties and depressions and relationship problems, Lord. And we want to find rest and refreshment in you, Lord. Just a recovery of peace and your grace. And so, Father, we come to you humbly but boldly. We come, Lord, to cast all of our cares upon you because you really do care for us. So, Lord, we come. We come. Thank you, Father. I want to invite you to pray with me. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands to begin with because I want us all to pray this because, like I said, this is for all of us. It's for the lost and the found. We're going to tell Jesus we're coming to you. And we're going to lay all the burdens and stuff out before him. So I want to ask you just to pray out loud with me. Let's pray like this. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus who calls me to come. I come. With all of my burdens and my concerns, I ask for forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you to give me your strength, to give me your peace and rest. I surrender my plans to you. I will take up that yoke and let you lead, and I will follow. Teach me, Lord, to trust you today and every hour. Until the end of my life. The rest of my life is yours. In Jesus' strong name. Amen. 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 I want to ask anybody here that just made that prayer very personal And maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the first time in a long time, maybe just something you know you needed to make that peace with God right now today. And you needed maybe just to, as a Christian worker, to lay the burden down on His feet right before Him. If that's you, I want to ask you to stand right now. Whoever you are, they just said, I just gave it over to Jesus. May God give you such rest in your soul by simply every day, even every hour, just coming to Jesus. Don't get tired of coming to Him. Don't let the burdens of your life keep you back. Let them push you. Maybe, you know, if you feel like you're falling in one direction, fall towards Jesus. Stumble towards Him and drop the weight before Him. May God bless you and keep you and grace you with His rest and with His peace. May this be the most refreshing week you've had in a long, long time as you lay the burdens down before Him and rise up to serve Him. God bless you. Grace and peace on you in Jesus' name.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.